getting harder and harder, yeah, because of what? Because of suppression of the truth. Right? So that's why today you see that people in the world today, their hearts are so hardened. It's not easy to tell them about the truth or whatever. Right? Okay. Now, so the result of hardening the heart is what? They always cling towards uncleanness. That's why you cannot believe, yeah? all the if you have analyzed all the movies or whatever, you know, the movies, what do they talk about? What they talk about? Sexual immorality. First thing. Mm. Second is what? Violence against humanity. Mm. Is that also? Mm. Apart from this, if you take these two elements away, there's no movie.
Then there will be no movie. Yes.
There's no movie at all. Right? So here you can see the depravity of humanity, human mind. Why? Because they have departed from God. Okay? Now therefore God gave them up. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, you know that man would rather choose to worship idols, worship animals, than God. You know, I'm not sure about here. Can you teach about the existence of God in this country? Can you talk about God exists, you know, stuff like that?
Yes.
But not in the Western world. You're not allowed to talk about God's creation or whatever. You're not supposed to talk about creationism.
Okay.
You're not supposed to say anything about that. Okay?
Right. Now, if it's so, how do people now understand God? If you don't talk about God,
that's why now it's fully suppressed. Mm. It's fully suppressed. The only thing is we can preach the gospel because it's a civilized world. Mm-hmm. You're free to preach as long as, insofar as you don't infringe the right of those whom you preach to, then you are allowed to preach. That's the only, like, you know, avenue we have. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, now, here, when you look at it, yeah? Verse 26, again, the second time it says, for this reason God gave them up to their vile passions, or even their woman exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. But God gave them up, because they don't worship God. That's the result. And people think that, oh, you know, homosexual is so cool, you know, it's civil rights. Everyone is given, you know, the same right, including the gay, all this kind of thing, right? You know, I think I told some of you before.
In fact, to make matters worse now.
Yes.
On the TV, human beings are mating on the TV. Mating.
Yes, I know. Mating. Yeah, you see, the thing is this. Yeah, the thing is this. You know, I actually watched a documentary film about why they allow gay priests to be in the church. You know, when you listen to their reasoning, it's quite understandable.
Yes.
They said, the argument put forward is, God loved the world. Do you agree? Yes, obviously, God loved the world. The world means all the people in the world. Do you agree? Obviously, we agree. So God loved the rich, God loved the poor, God loved the free, God loved the slave. We all agree, no problem. Right? God loved people of different colors. God loved people from different walks of life. Do you agree? Yes, we agree. So the same principle holds true for people who practice homosexuality. The argument is, does God love the homosexual? Yes. Because
yes,
they are part of the humanity.
The Godzilla with the thief.
Yeah, God loves the thief. Yes.
So now, if we're going to say the homosexuals must have that attitude of fundamental human rights, then the thief also is going to say, can you recognize?
No, let me finish first, but the argument is this, okay?
Yeah.
So God loves every type of people, including thieves, the murderers, but yes, full stop, it's true. God also loves the robbers, isn't it?
Yes.
The one who died with him on the cross. Is that also?
So it should be right.
Yes, but they have forgotten the second part. God loves them so that they can change for the better.
Amen.
You get what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The robber God loved because he confessed his sin. You understand what I'm saying? Right? If I'm a homosexual today, okay, God loves me, I must respond to the gospel by changing myself, by not suppressing the truth, and then I'll be back to normal.
Yes.
I will not crave for what? Homosexuality.
No? Homosexuality, yes.
Because this is a deprivation of the mind. You get what I'm saying now? Right? Now, so here we find that in verse 26, God said God gave them up. This is the second time. Now, verse 27, likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, man with man committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, what was that? What was that penalty? They said, yeah, this is a joke, okay? They said, some people said this penalty here is condemnation in the lake of fire, which is true. You know those who commit, those who practice homosexuality, they're called aqua. A-Q-U-A.
Okay? Aqua.
What is that? No. Aqua is, you know, if you look at this HIV, what do you call it?
Acquire
something, syndrome. Is it not so? Okay, what does it mean? Aqua is homosexual. Aqua is dying soon. AIDS. AIDS. That's the meaning. Some people joke with it. Okay, aqua is dying soon. If you do that, you're dying soon. Okay? So it's true. It's true. So you find that now God actually execute judgment on those who what? Practice what? Homosexuality. Especially in the church, this is intolerable. We do not tolerate this. Right? Now, we move on. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, this is a problem. Yeah? God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Right? Now, so, you see the danger is, because I think this can also influence us as Christians today. We may not suppress the knowledge of God, but if we always pay attention to their behavior, like on the TV or whatever, whether you like it or not, sooner or later our mind can be influenced. You get what I'm saying? Right? And this is very dangerous as well. You know, we have been saying to some members, we said, you work full-time, very well, but you have two full-time jobs. Yeah? In the morning, you work very hard, and at night, you're very hard at watching television throughout the night. Two full-time jobs. Right? That's why you find that members can also be easily influenced by the thing that they watch. Right? That's why we said we have to be very careful.
Would you discourage watching?
No. We said you must be prudent in your choice.
Yeah, it's better, but you look at things with a critical eye. And self-control.
No. That's why there are things that we must avoid. The Bible says avoid means you don't even look at it. How can you look at a sexual sin with a critical eye? The thing, by the time you look at it, it goes into your mind already.
How will you talk about a wrong which you don't know?
No.
Because if you are going to be ignorant about wrong,
no,
you will not be able to...
No.
What
the wrong, the wrong is stated in the Bible. Wrongs are in the Bible.
Yeah, but you will not know that they are taking place. You need to watch that so that you can say, you know, this is wrong.
No, the wrongs are mentioned in the Bible. We are given the mind to know what is right and what is wrong. You know, when you are watching TV, you are looking at the acts of wrongs. Right? We don't need to look at the acts of wrongs. You understand what I'm saying? The action, you don't need to look at that. You know murder is wrong. You don't need to look at how people kill. Do you need to look through that? No, you don't. You need to look at someone, you know, going out with a gun, start shooting people, and calling himself very cool. No, you don't need to.
What Jesus said was that you will know my coming back by watching events. And if you do not know and you are ignorant of things going on in society, how will you identify events?
No, I read newspapers. I know what is going on. Is that not enough? Why must I look at something visual?
fact, the events that you need to look at, first you have to understand, in fact, dispensations. You know, according to the Bible, how things has been, how God has programmed this program after His second coming. If you know the dispensation where you have come from and the dispensation where you are in and the dispensation that will come after that, then you still understand the, you know.
How will you know where, well, you may know where you come from, but where you have passed and where you are in,
how will you still know through
how
the Bible?
Do you dispense that?
You can still understand through the Bible as He's putting it. When you are studying the Bible, you are reading and studying, then you are able to know.
Okay. I tell what, I tell brother, we, yeah. Brother, we look at one verse, huh? We look at one verse. Mm-hmm. First John. Okay, we look at one verse.
You can't judge if you are
in the brother. No. Mm-hmm. No, brother, look at one verse. It's okay. First John, chapter 1. Chapter 2. First John. Chapter 2.
Chapter 2. Mm.
Okay, we read verse 16. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Right? Now, verse 17, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Right? Now, so that's why the focus is, you must not be influenced by the thing. You, what you see influence you. What you hear influence you. Right? That's why we said, insofar as we know it, okay, then we what? It suffice. There's no need to look at the visual act of it, or whatever, you know, stuff like that. There's no need for that. Okay, now we come back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, verse 29, right? Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Okay? Violence, proud, boaster, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, unmerciful, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, so we find that when man has been given over to a debased mind, this will be the characteristics that they would adopt in their life. Because God is not up here, so what comes into the person is what? Corruptions. You get what I'm saying? Now that's why when you study the Bible, you find that God has saved us from the world of corruption. Yeah? I want you to read 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, we look at verse 3 and verse 4. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 3 and verse 4. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, how do we gain godliness? Knowledge of God, isn't it? Just now when we read Romans, we find that they became ungodly because they suppressed the knowledge of God. Can you see now? Yeah? Okay. Now, so, in His divine power has given to us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, who called us by glory and by virtue. Today, we come to know about God, and therefore what? We become holy. So, to remain holy, we must not suppress that idea of knowing God. Sometimes this idea can be suppressed by the thing that we see, by the people with whom we mingle, right? And also the things that we do in life. And this idea can be suppressed. You understand what I'm saying? When that happens, you find that corruption will begin to seep into your life. You get what I'm saying? So that's why today we are so thankful. Why? Because we have been drawn away from that. We have been taken out from the cycle of corruption. Now we are in Christ Jesus. This is what Paul is trying to tell them. Now, by which wherefore you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You need to escape. How do you escape? Obviously, you believe in Jesus. After you have believed in Jesus, how do you escape? You do not even want to come close to it. Right? You do not even want to have any point of connection with this kind of thing. You know that when you always associate with a drunkard, let's say you have no influence over him, okay? He always tells you, come and drink. One day you end up joining him as well. That's why the Bible says you escape. The word escape is very, very strong word. If you are fighting a war, and you are, let's say you are the only one left, okay? You want to escape from your enemy. What must you do? You must not let him know where you are, isn't it? You escape. You run away from him. Meaning you have nothing to do with that guy. That is the idea of escaping. You can see how important it is. You know what I'm saying? All right? Now, we move on. Is that...
But hey. Restraint. Restraint is a very good way.
Yes.
If you are going to run away from things, and the day you meet them, you will be conquered.
No.
I will tell you one thing.
Let me give you
my experience. Ever since I was born, I have actually mingled with the people, drunkards and things like that. And even the smokers and things like that. Right? I have never touched beer on my face. Because I have always been with them and have said, you drink, yes. Can you tell me what you do? They are incapable. Now, if I refrain and I'm not with them, then they will come and say, you don't know because you don't know. Now, that is the thing.
No, I agree with you. Okay, now, the thing is,
I prefer to know the sin and then understand the sin, see the consequences of the sin.
Okay. No, I have no problem with that, okay? The main point is this, okay? Let's say, for example, we all always talk about sexual immorality, okay? We all know in our mind what sexual immorality is and what sexual immorality entails. Is that not true? Okay? But do I need to know exactly how it is done to look at it? No, you don't need to. You get what I'm saying? You don't need to look at it to know what the sin is. Is that not true? You know what happened to David? He saw the woman bathing and then that's it, finished.
He was weak.
But I think that Joseph is a good example.
He escaped.
I mean, he stayed. He didn't say, no, I'm going to stay. I said, I'm going to reason with a master's wife. I mean, not everyone is like you, Ben, that's able to practice restraint and facing that situation. We have to apply the general principle to everyone. So most of our members might not have the type of constraint practice you have. So you have to consider that, just like we have to consider when we earlier talked about the practice about dressing and stuff, it has to be general.
Well, we can stay without watching TV.
No, I'm not saying that. I said you must be prudent. You must be selective.
How do you select the absence of knowing?
No, that's what I said. Okay, that's why most of the movies nowadays, they are corrupted. You know it. That's why I said if we take away the violence a bit of it, the violence element and the immoral element, there's no movie.
Now it's like movie.
Yeah, that's
short,
the most attractive.
Short movie.
I see.
Yeah, that's what people want.
There are Christian channels on the TV, and then there are also secular channels. But you find that as a true Christian, do you go to the secular channels or you go to Christian channels? Even among the Christian channels, it's not every channel that you can watch, as long as maybe you are not in agreement with the same faith they believe in, because maybe what they teach is not. Maybe you will be corrupted. Yeah, you'll be corrupted also at the same time. So that's the point he's trying to amend.
So you have to certain subjects which you will find on a Christian channel. You may not learn as what you learn for the other channel.
You know, it's not about doing good and being good, because this is the religion Satan has made. So man is all about trying to be good and doing good. But as long as God is not involved, then it's
So what is your question?
What is it? My question here is on the abstinence. Because you see, like in this Second Peter, where we are, he says we actually must have knowledge.
Knowledge of God.
And after knowledge, maybe someone read. My grandson, read there, I'll pick it one by one. It's one.
I read, verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtues, to virtue knowledge. To knowledge, self control, to self control, perseverance.
Take it slowly, I want to go with you. First is, you must have virtue. And to virtue, you must have knowledge. You never have knowledge when you broke certain terms. You need to know. That is knowledge. That is knowledge. And to knowledge, you must actually, what is it?
Self-control.
You must have self-control. What are you going to have self-control if you don't see the wrong things? Where are you going to control from? The wrongs must be exposed. And then when you have got that one, then they are also saying you must have perseverance.
Brother, the knowledge here is not the knowledge of knowing evil. The knowledge here is the knowledge of God. Okay, let me show you a verse. We turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, yeah?
1 Corinthians. Don't worry. Excuse me, I went to know.
Yes, no problem. Okay, we read chapter 14, yeah? And even though the word knowledge is not used, the word understanding is used, okay? Now, we read chapter 14.
Verse 20.
Yes. Joshua, you want to read for us?
Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in marriage, be better, but in understanding, be your nature.
Now, here it used the word malice, yeah? It refers to wickedness, evil. It must be like this. What? Mm-hmm. Okay? That's why I think it's quite clear a distinction is drawn here. As for the knowledge of God, the understanding about God, you must be mature. But as for this knowledge, you know that the knowledge of God tells you, if you are married and if you go to another woman, that is adultery. That's the knowledge, okay? And there is no need, like what I said, for you to look at exactly how adultery is committed. You understand what I'm saying? Right? That's a point I'm making. Right? This is what it means. Okay? Alright, now we come back to Romans, yeah? Chapter 1.
Even from the same as you were saying, when you come to Genesis, you know, when God instructed Adam, he gave in fact the law to Adam and not to Eve. He was told not to eat the tree of knowledge, knowledge of evil and good. But he was only told to eat to the tree of life. So that's the point he's trying to bamboo here, whereby when you are trying maybe to say, okay, you try to compromise to say, let me also try to know evil and good. That's where you are going to also.
It's not a good that I'm a very strong character.
You cannot be strong if God cannot be strong.
It's in God. In God, I've told you my character. From a child, I've never drank beer. From a child, I've never smoked. And from a child, make no mistake, I have actually been married. I married my wife 46 years. No man. Because I feel people, what I do, if I can discipline myself, anybody else can be taught to be disciplined.
That would be debatable if you say you have not made a mistake from childhood.
No. I mean, I've made mistakes. But what I'm saying is, how I would like to define self-control.
I must be able to say, this is bad. Why should I do it? That's what I'm saying. How you should be able to admit it. Sorry, sir.
It's okay, no problem.
We are letting you answer the questions.
No, I think the bottom line is that the bottom line is this, okay? As for the word of God, we must know it well, because the word of God talks about evil, what type of evil.
Yes.
That's my
point. Yes, yes. He is saying, identify it, not from a practical point of view, but identify it from the Bible's point of view.
Biblical point of view.
I have understood.
Okay, now, any question? Okay, back to chapter 1, and we have roughly covered chapter 1, right? After so many hours. You had.
I will be very excited.
No, it's okay. I love debating with a lawyer anyway. Don't worry. I cannot say I'm born to debate, but I love debating.
No. You see, to understand that we have, like we have got you, me, I feel very advantageous. Very advantageous to have you. Because when you go, the questions I'm asking you, other people will ask me the same questions. And if I have not understood your explanation, I'll be stuck. I would like to be as competent to answer questions the way you have taught me. That is me. That's the way I believe. I want to learn it well so that I can answer it well where I'm going.
Right now, with regards to the first part, yeah, that the divinity of God, the Son of Man, we'll talk about it maybe tomorrow or the day after.
Yes.
We'll see how it happens. Okay, and I think when we talk about the divinity of God, we have to spend about a few hours to talk about it.
Yes.
Now, like what I normally do is, I will first lay down some principle and pointers.
Yes.
So if you have any question later, you are free to ask. Right? Then we'll do our best to answer your questions. And obviously we're also thankful because we have different pastors from other churches. So I think the important thing is I believe that we believe in Jesus because we want to be saved. That's the ultimate aim of believing in Jesus. Is that not true? Victor, is that not true?
It's true.
It's true, isn't it? I believe in Jesus. I come here to work because I want to be saved. That's the main purpose. Right now, so I think when we continue with our study, then I think we'll begin to talk more about, you know, like the church. Why do we need the church? Okay, what is the purpose of the church today? Because there are so many different churches around, even in Zambia itself. I don't know how many different types of churches, Christian churches. It's like, you know, uncountable. So many of them. Right now, I think that's why from the Bible we try to understand the definition of the church and why the church was established in the first place by God. There must be a main purpose. And so we hope that by looking at the scriptures we can identify that purpose. Right? Now, I'm not sure whether the meal is ready. Shall we continue or shall we? You are the manager.
Yes.
The official. Thank you. Okay. Since because we are going to talk about one true God, yeah, there are certain terms I want you to pay attention to in chapter 1 itself. Yeah? I want you to look at chapter 1 verse 19. This is a term that we will use very often. Yeah? That's why I try to use term in the Bible. When I cannot find any similar term in the Bible, I will explain to you why this term is used. But because if you use terms which are not biblical, they can confuse the idea. Right? Now, okay. Now if you read verse 19, yeah?
What
chapter 1?
Romans. Romans, they say.
Okay, it said, because what may be known of God is manifest. The word manifest is used in the Bible, yeah? God manifested himself in the flesh. This is the word used, isn't it? Manifest. Okay? Is it okay? Yeah? Now, the other term is, I want you to read, where is it? Verse 20. Can you see the last part? It says power and Godhead. Can you see the word Godhead? Is it in your Bible?
Yes.
Godhead. Godhead. Now, Godhead is not the head of God. It's not this one. Eh? It's not this one. Okay? Godhead means the full deity of God. The full divinity of God. The complete God. Okay? So, Godhead is not this head. Okay? Okay. Now, so when we come to the Trinitarian concept, because people believe that in the Godhead, that's what they said, in the Godhead, yeah? There are three persons. Right? We shall discuss this based on that line of thinking and to see whether that thinking is biblical or not. You get where I'm coming from? Right? Now, so these are the terms, yeah? That's why I try to be precise using the Word of God. Okay, now, the other thing is, when you look at the idea of Trinity or Trinitarianism, it does not appear in the Bible in the first place. It's not there. Is it not true? Yes. It was to arise, I think, in 300 something AD after Christ, right? And this idea, began to germinate, began to crop up, right? Put it this way. So it was not in the time of the apostles. Definitely, it's not. And some people, I have read some articles, yeah, because I tried to trace the origin of Trinity, and some said this idea actually is originated from a Hinduist theory. Right? Why? Because the Hindu believe in God.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, God. Yeah. Yes, yes. And six arms, you know, that kind of thing. But you know, and another source says actually this idea originated from a philosopher, Plato. Okay? But it's very hard to determine. But to me, this is a deviation. Anyway, whether you like it or not. You know, in the Bible, you can see the idea, okay? What we call doctrinal deviation. Doctrinal deviation is the most serious one. Because it corrupts the whole church. When the stand of the church is not clear, then what happens? Corruption just seeps through very easily. And so, the whole church becomes leaven. Right? And the other form of deviation, we call it behavioral deviation. And it's equally serious, like people introduce, you know, like what this is, a purgatory into the church. You know, as long as you know, you got money, you know, I pray for you, and you go heaven, that kind of thing. Alright? And this is like, you know, all this are funny idea being introduced into the church. And that's why the church also, permits, promiscuity, you know, you can be believers, and yet you can have, many sexual partners at the same time. Right? And we know that this is not acceptable. So, behavioral deviation and doctrinal deviation, they are all connected. Right? Okay. Okay, we pray. We pray. Break for lunch. Let's kneel down and pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.